Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
Keegan's back.
I'm back.
I missed you. I think I said that like two or three times during the last episode.
God.
I was just like, God, I miss Keegan.
It has been such a like whirlwind week.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so tired and run down. You can probably hear it in my voice. I'm straining a little bit. But yeah, it was just like, I don't know what's wrong with me. In my family, road trips are just like the thing that you do.
Yeah.
Like you always road trip. And so
my family's the opposite.
Yeah. So I'm like 11 hours, like that's fine. You know, so we drove 11 hours, spent one day with my family for my grandpa's funeral, and then drove 11 hours home. So, I'm really tired.
Yeah.
I'm really tired right now. But we thought we would do, since we didn't do a news episode last week, we thought we would do maybe a longer one where we can kind of get more in the mud about things.
Yeah.
On this episode.
Exactly.
So.
Because shit has been happening.
Right. I mean, I think that this is going to be mostly a government shutdown talk.
Yes.
Because that's what most of my notes are. It looks like that's what most of your notes are.
Yeah, I've got like a page and a half on that, but I have a couple other things too.
Yeah, I've got some other stuff too, but the majority of, because it's so involved, and I feel like it is constantly evolving.
Yeah.
That there's a lot to cover.
And there's just like such a shitstorm surrounding it too. Like, when I was watching the news earlier this week, when he like walked out of the meeting.
Oh, he's gone full temper tantrum.
He's gone like, full, like,
he's in full toddler mode.
For real. So, just to kind of, like, get us started, this is the longest shutdown in record at 4 weeks since Bill Clinton.
There was a government shutdown that lasted 21 days previously, and that was the longest government shutdown. We surpassed that last Saturday.
Yeah.
So we are now fully into the longest government shutdown.
Which, of course, we are with the president that we have. Like, yeah, of course, there's going to be, like, we're going to have some shitty record attached to him.
He straight up said that he would be happy to keep the government shut down for months or even years.
Oh, my God.
Which just drives home the point that he has absolutely zero understanding.
He doesn't understand. And he has no empathy whatsoever for what that means for so many families. Because it's like 800,000 people didn't get paid.
Right.
And then half of them were furloughed and the other half are working without pay because they're needed. And it's like, can you imagine? Like, I also read that, like, all these TSA workers are calling in sick in, like, droves.
They're just
like, we're not coming into work. I don't blame them. And the one good thing is that, like, Uber, Lyft, Postmates, they've been, like, reaching out to government workers and, like, to have them work for them.
Right.
But, like, I've worked Postmates before. You don't make the same kind of money.
Right, no.
You know? But it's, like, it's one of those things that's so frustrating is that he just lacks reality and realizing the detriment that he is creating by having these people lose their jobs.
Yeah, I mean, and in addition to that, the whole, I was listening to the Daily Zeitgeist and they played a clip of Sarah Huckabee Sanders on Fox News talking to a Fox News correspondent where she was trying to drive home that we need this wall for border security. And she throughout the statistic where she said 4,000 terrorists have come in through the southern border, and the Fox News correspondent stopped her.
Really?
And said, Sarah, I wasn't sure you were going to bring that up, but I actually did my research on this, and they're not coming in through the southern border. They're coming in by air. And she kind of fumbled and was just like, they're coming in always. They're coming in every way possible. And
yeah,
the truth of it is, eight terrorists have come in through the southern border of that 4,000. Most of the rest of them have come by plane.
Yeah.
And guess who's not getting fucking paid right now? The TSA.
Exactly.
So they don't care about stopping terrorists from coming into the country.
The thing that they care about is the promise that he made to his followers during his whole campaign to build the wall. That was his big booming thing.
Well, because he's done nothing else.
He
hasn't locked up Hillary Clinton because he couldn't, because that was a weak, empty promise.
Yeah.
And so this is something he feels like he can accomplish.
Yeah.
Even though it makes zero sense.
It really does.
Even border the head of the Border Patrol was like, this is going to be ineffective. He was like, we might need more money allocated to border security and create maybe a digital wall with more cameras and like infrared, like,
that's going to be even more money.
No,
it
not
be?
No, because it's not like actual, you're not going to build actual.
Oh,
like,
I get it.
Wall,
got
you
it.
Know, you're going to set up more cameras. You're going to get better technology to control, you know, what we can see. But building an actual wall is going to do literally nothing.
Yeah.
And it's going to cost us so much money. It's insane.
It really is to the point where it's like, we're at such a standstill because the Democrats will not budge and neither will Trump.
Well, there's actually, the Democrats had suggested there was a bipartisan bill that is being stopped from going through right now.
Okay.
They're not allowing it to go through. Money had been allocated to border security.
Yeah.
It just wasn't allocated to a wall.
Yeah.
You know, and this bill had been agreed upon by even most Republicans.
Right.
It's just being stopped from going through. And even if it did, I'm not exactly sure how this works, so don't at me.
Yeah.
But even if it did, I'm pretty sure Trump would just veto it.
Yeah.
If that's how that works. I'm not sure if there's a way to get around that.
That's the thing. Like, right now he's focused on, like, all of his PR efforts to build support for this wall and sell the government shutdown and wants to shift the blame onto the Democrats rather than, like, negotiate any sort of deal.
Right.
With
he
them.
Walked out of shutdown negotiations.
Yeah.
He had shutdown negotiations with Democrats. And as soon as they were like, listen, we're willing to make other changes, but you're not getting this wall.
Yeah.
He straight full
stormed out.
Temper tantrumed and literally stormed out and said it was a waste of time.
Yeah. And Mike Pence afterwards during his interview even just kind of looked like, how am I supposed to back this guy? Like, just the look in his face. He was just
He did try. He tried to back him.
He
was like, he tried to back him by saying that Trump was being nice. He gave them candy.
What? I didn't even hear that part.
Which he did. He like,
that's
Trump,
hilarious.
Trump like put some candy on the table and was like,
candy?
Eh?
You gonna give me that
now,
wall?
You want to give me a wall, right?
Oh my God.
I'm being, like, nice to you.
I saw this hilarious photo of, like, an old-fashioned Lego box of, like, a wall, like, Lego walls, and Trump being photoshopped in there. And I sent, because, like, the boy I take care of is obsessed with Legos, so I sent that to my bosses, and I was like, maybe Theo can help him out. Like,
it's freaking ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous. They've manufactured this border crisis to back their need for a wall, but it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And it's at the detriment of so many people, and he's losing popularity because people who may have backed him who are government workers are starting to see that, like, he doesn't care about you.
No.
At all.
He because cares even about if, this one promise that he made.
Even if he truly thought a wall was effective, he wouldn't do it at the cost of your and your family's, like, livelihood.
Yeah.
He would back down, you know, if he really gave a shit about you.
Yeah.
But
I feel
but
like he feel like he just thinks, though, that if he could do this one thing, that all of the other supporters that he has, all the voters that he has, would remain with him if he were to run again in 2020.
And I also think that he is desperately, in the worst way, trying to distract people from the Mueller probe and the Russia investigation and trying to kind of change the conversation, because now none of us are talking about that because we're all panicked about a government shutdown.
Yeah.
So I made some bullet points here about what to expect if the government remains shut down for an indefinite period of time.
Oh, good. Give us the bad news.
Yeah. Economists are kind of freaking out a little bit about this because it's unprecedented. It's never happened before. We're already seeing issues with, like, the FDA is not, they don't have enough funds or manpower to ensure that, like, food is being regulated properly.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot. There's just a lot that's being affected right now. So if the worst were to happen and the government was to remain shut down for another month, let's say, or a couple of months, experts say 38 million low-income Americans will lose food stamps. 6 million face an uncertain timetable for collecting tax refunds. So I'm like, fucking great. Because, like, I actually really need my tax refund this year. So, fantastic. $2 million without rental assistance and facing possible eviction.
Yeah.
800,000 paychecklessless federal employees. Shuttered parks and museums while overstressed airports cause tourism to tank. Federal court system slows to a crawl. Disaster relief money doesn't get to storm-ravaged areas. Lapsed FDA and EPA inspections lead to dangerous outbreaks. Private companies looking to go public stuck in limbo and the stock market plummeting. Mark Zandi, who's a chief economist at Moody's Analytics, says that if Congress and Trump can't reach a deal on raising the debt ceiling in a few months, it's, quote, game over. You'll have a pretty severe recession. You could start seeing some pretty dark scenarios worldwide based on our economy crashing. And when Trump was asked, like, what are you going to do? Like, what are landlords supposed to do?
Yeah.
Because now these federal employees who aren't getting paid aren't necessarily able to pay their rent.
Yeah.
What would you do as someone who has been a landlord before?
Yeah.
And he was basically like, it'll be fine. They'll do the right thing. They won't evict them. They'll just keep them there without getting paid.
No.
That's not how it works. And that's also not how Trump...
Because they're a business owner. Like, that, if you're a landlord, that is your business.
Right. And that's also not what Trump did.
He would not do that.
He evicted people on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's literally a cartoon villain.
He literally is. I mean, 2020 can't come soon enough.
Yeah. I mean, but in the meantime, we're going to see massive repercussions. So people who feel like they're not being affected by this now will start to feel the effects of this moving forward.
Exactly. It does affect everybody, but he has such tunnel vision that he can't possibly understand that.
I just don't think he cares.
No.
I just don't think he cares.
He doesn't care.
I don't think that most of these people care because, you know, when you talk about people like Mitch McConnell or Paul Ryan, these people aren't not getting paid. Like, they're getting paid.
Yeah.
So it's not really affecting them. As federal workers, like, it's not affecting them.
Yeah.
So they don't care.
And, yeah, he must just still have so many people that are telling him that he's doing a good job. You know what I mean? Like, he's probably surrounded by so many yes men still that, like, he's willing to hold on to it.
Right. But, I mean, like, even the Republicans are starting...
they are.
They're starting to be like, look, man, we got to come to some kind of conclusion.
Yeah. Whoever's going to be president next is going to have so much shit to clean up.
Such a mess to clean up. Yeah.
It's going to be like walking into like a worn down house with like mold and no foundation.
Fixer-upper, like, for sure.
Okay. Where do I start? What do I do?
Yeah.
Kind of going off of that, Julian Castro has decided that he is going to be running for president. He is a Democrat. He's from Texas. He was an Obama-era housing and urban development secretary and announced Saturday that he's launching a bid to become a Democratic nominee in 2020. He was the first Latino to deliver the keynote address at the Democratic National Convention in 2012.
I'm listening.
Yeah, and he goes, right now, the Latino community feels attacked by this administration. And so, of course, there's a special significance to me standing up on this stage. And I think that's really poignant because Trump has made the Hispanic community into villains for a lot of people. So to have somebody with real world background and real political background who has a lot of really great ideas, which I'll get into, who's Latino, I think is amazing and definitely is going to piss off a lot of Republicans and Trump supporters.
Yeah, he's got an uphill battle.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, we're getting a fairly diverse outlook for the future Democratic nominee.
I heard Kamala might throw her hat in to the ring, which would be crazy.
Would be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, there's these people who are finally, I feel like, getting voices in some small way and are like, this is my time that I have to stand up for my people, the Democrats, the people from their backgrounds, things like that. And I really love that that's happening. He told Iowa voters that he would push left-wing policies like a Green New Deal and Medicare for All, and pledged he would not take any corporate PAC money in the race.
Oh, man. This is going to be I understand, like, these are our lives, so yeah. I'm not taking it lightly, but also, like, this is, like, my Super Bowl. Like, this is, like, my Olympics. Like, this time, like, leading up to the 2020 elections, like, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to see all of this. Yeah.
I know.
And it's going to be a race unlike I think we've ever seen before.
Yeah.
Because more people are going to stop taking corporate money.
Yeah.
It's going to change the game.
And it's like, I grew up not really being that involved in politics. And I feel like now it's like everybody's involved.
Right.
Everybody wants to know. So I feel like it's going to be one of those things where, like, everybody is so looking forward to this that it really is such a big deal.
It's going to be the most engaged election I think we've maybe ever seen.
Hopefully the biggest turnout in voters, too,
hopefully.
You know, for the best.
Yeah, I mean, and if one good thing can come out of this shit show of an administration, it is that people are more engaged, and it is that we are going to see some very bright new faces emerge. Like I said, I freaking love Elizabeth Warren. I love her to pieces, but I'm also so excited to see people who aren't, like,
career politicians.
Yeah, or, like, I mean, she wasn't even really a career politician, but you know what I'm saying. Like, kind of a very straight line, took a very traditional course to get where she is.
Yeah.
It's exciting to see people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and these other people who are coming up right now. It's very heartwarming to see this start happening. People like Beto O'Rourke who aren't taking corporate funds.
Exactly.
People,
well, and he's going to be sitting with Oprah in February.
Yeah.
So, because he hasn't officially been like, this is what I'm doing to set
up
for it.
He's just getting his feet wet.
He is, yeah. So, they're thinking that with this interview with Oprah that this will be kind of his moment to, you know, come out and say what he's going to be doing. And we know about the Oprah effect.
Oh, yes, the Oprah effect.
The Oprah effect.
You know, our first Latino president would be, like, amazing.
It would be huge.
It would be so, like, it would change so much, I feel. I don't hold out a lot of hope that it will actually happen, at least not right now. Not in his first run, I don't think, just because the right is so racist.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah.
Like, racist, more racist than they've probably ever been.
I mean, they're going to be dragged through the mud. Like, anybody who is a person of color who runs, I feel like, is going to be dragged through the mud.
Especially Latino right now.
Yeah.
Especially Latino right now, just because of, I mean, look how contentious this wall thing is. There are still people supporting this wall.
Oh, well, speaking of which, that goes to my next point. You are just, like,
on it.
Pushing me into all of my things. I love it. So there was a GoFundMe account.
Oh, God. Yeah, I remember that.
By Brian Colfidge. I can't read my own handwriting.
Who cares?
He's a piece of shit. So apparently now, though, GoFundMe is refunding $20 million raised in donations to build the wall because he decided to change where the money would go. So he wrote that rather than donating the money raised to federal government, it would be handed over to a private nonprofit he said he had established in order to construct the wall himself.
Oh, honey, no.
And he promises to give a refund if his goal of $1 billion was not met, which, like, that's pretty much all I have on that, but I saw that article and I was just like, what the fuck?
He's
gonna build it himself?
It's just gonna be you with some cinder blocks and some cement. Like, what the fuck? Like, what is wrong with people?
I don't know.
But also, what's wrong with people who are donating money to a fucking wall? Like, what's wrong with you? And they raised, like, several million dollars, and I'm like, you can't put this money towards, like, actually helping people in any real meaningful way.
Nope.
What about those veterans that you guys are talking about caring so much about?
Nope.
You can't put money towards their mental health or
not.
Their physical health?
Of course not.
No? You can't stop homelessness for vets? No? That's not something you can put $5 million fucking dollars into?
Nope.
Like, it's just so hypocritical and frustrating.
It
like,
really
it's so
is.
So frustrating.
Because he's, again, like, that was his main campaign strategy was this wall. He has to hold on to the wall. Yes, he said a lot of other things, but there's such a symbol with this wall.
Well, and the thing is, like, he was ready to approve their budget and, you know, what they had allotted for border security, and it did not include a wall, and he was ready to approve it.
Yeah.
Until we all know that the president gets most of his ideas via media consumption, usually like Fox and Friends or Fox News.
Or Twitter.
And someone on Fox News said not to accept it. until he gets his wall. And he was like, you know what? You're right, man. Thank you. I won't.
You know what you're talking about.
And it's clear because some people on the inside at the White House have said that they are just now grasping the scope of what a government shutdown really means. Like,
yeah.
I don't think they realize like, exactly what was going to happen. Trump for sure didn't realize, and I think the people closest to him also didn't quite understand.
But it's one of those things where it's like, now you're in it so far, he's like, do I back down? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's one of those personalities where he won't back down.
No, he won't back down. The people around him, I think, are kind of at a place where they're like, what do we do now? Because I think that they thought that the Democrats would cave quicker than this. And they are sorely mistaken.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi is like not having it.
Oh my God. Wait, I have a quote. Hold on. I wrote everything on a piece of paper. She says, let's give Trump some time to think it through. Did I say think? Let's see what happens.
No, she's sassy. Yeah. Like, she's back in sassy, man. Like, she is totally in her element at this moment.
Totally.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. If you or your family is being affected by the shutdown in a negative way, I'm really sorry. Like, I hope it wraps up soon.
I know. I hope something happens.
Or your relative is able to find another job. Because to be honest, like, I understand that these jobs are important and we need these people. But as a human being personally, I would leave.
You need that money.
Yeah, I would quit this job. Like, if it was not paying me and I can't pay my rent or my bills or feed my family, like, I'd be like, listen, sorry.
That's what it means, yeah.
But I can't work for the TSA anymore.
Yep.
You know?
Which is such a shame because we need them, you know what I mean? But
and it's making things very unsafe because also it's not just the TSA that's not getting paid. Air traffic controllers aren't getting paid.
Yeah.
We kind of fucking need them.
Yeah, we really like, fucking need them. Like, you're worried about a wall? People can fly over. Like, you know, there's so many things that we need.
And most people who are in this country illegally are people who have flown here and overstayed their visas.
Yeah.
That's the majority of illegal immigrants, if that's what you want to call them, in this country are quote-unquote illegal because they came in legally with visas and then just didn't leave.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like the way the right is making it look.
Yeah.
You know, the optics of it are just so...
are very wrong.
Fucked up.
So, have you seen Surviving R. Kelly?
I started it.
I've seen the first two episodes.
Okay, I saw the first episode. I did listen to a podcast that I love that I think I talk about a lot, Behind the Bastards.
Yeah.
Did a two-parter on R. Kelly. I did listen to it.
Uh-huh.
So I did get a lot of...
information.
Of the details.
Yeah, well, there's a big movement going on right now, which is hashtag Mute R. Kelly. So protesters had, like, a face-off between fans outside of his Chicago studio.
Fucking fans,
I
really?
I know, right?
This is the hill you want to die on? Cool. So, R. Kelly? Great.
But, like, listen, so, like, the protesters are, like, chalking messages on the sidewalk being like, R. Kelly, your time is up, and Black Girls Matter. And the white fans are holding up signs that say, R. Kelly, we heart you.
It's so fucking stupid.
It's so ridiculous. So, Illinois officials denied a permit for an upcoming concert set to be hosted by R. Kelly, which is the Spring Break Jam. And that's what made the fans upset. And then the protesters were there to, like, in support of it. And it's just, like, it's such a dumb thing to argue about. Like, it's such a... it really is. It's like, this is what you decide that you're going to put your foot down on,
this
R.
is
Kelly.
The hill you're going to die on.
Yeah.
Is R. Kelly. And this man is a monster. Like, and no one is denying that he is a great talent and has given us a lot of...
Great music.
Like, no one is doubting that.
Yeah.
But the lives of these women and girls is... more important.
It's more important.
And I'm happy that, you know, from the little bit that I watched and definitely from the things that I heard on Behind the Bastards, like, clearly these women have gone through tremendous trauma.
Oh,
and
tremendous.
It's so hard to watch.
Yeah.
But I am glad that it has sparked a conversation, not just about women and protecting women, but protecting Black girls and women.
Exactly. Because it's so clear why they weren't taken seriously. And it's so...
we don't care.
It's so racist. It's so blatantly racist.
If R. Kelly was doing this to white girls, oh my God.
It would be done.
Yeah, especially as a Black man. If he was doing this to white girls, there's no way that people would have just been like, it's fine, or making jokes about it.
Yeah,
like,
there's no way. And that's... it's such a blatant thing that is so ridiculous to me, like how little we value these lives, and it's so heartbreaking. And you see these women on the show that are just having a hard time getting through it, but they know it's important, they know they have to talk about it, but it's like they have to stop. Like, it is hard.
And none of them got paid none of them got paid to be a part of
that. No, this
is
all just to make sure that it is known, and to also, not just about R. Kelly, but for there to be a stop to all of these people who are treating these young women, particularly Black women, so horribly.
Like objects.
Something needs
to
change.
They're being treated like objects.
Yes.
And for a long time, we've allowed celebrities to, you know, celebrities and sports stars to treat women like objects. Like, groupie culture is literally treating women like objects. Like, you watch, like, Almost Famous, or you read, I've seen excerpts of, like, Motley Crue's autobiography or whatever, where they talk about, like, swapping women, like, and things like that, where they're, or, like, no, which band was it? There was a band that traded women in card games. Groupies. They would trade group, like, that's what you would win if you were playing poker or whatever. Like, literally treating them like objects.
Yeah.
And it's just become such a part of our culture that we have accepted that. And then on top of that, Black women have been so hypersexualized.
They've been
fetishized to the point where we just assume that they've asked for it. Or, like, even in that documentary or in some of the other things that I'd heard, you had people who facilitated a lot of this who would say, like, you know, well, like, they were acting above their years, or they were acting older.
Yeah,
and it's like, that doesn't fucking matter. A 14-year-old is a 14-year-old.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what they looked like, what they were acting like, anything else.
How developed they were does not matter.
Advantage of them. So Kelly's attorney, Steve Greenberg, refuted the allegation, saying, "It's a bunch of disgruntled people looking for their 15 minutes of TMZ fame." And while referring to the Me Too movement, he says, "I believe that all these women did exactly what they wanted to do, because now that there's some hashtag, that's not going to change."
Well, very disrespectful.
Yeah, it's just completely disregarding anybody who's come forward with any sort of allegations and trying to tell their story.
And from what I've seen, I mean, there is no doubting these women. Like, they're very obviously traumatized.
Yes.
Like, very clearly traumatized.
Yes.
So I don't see how you watch a person trying to tell a story like that with that much emotion and assume that they're lying.
Mental gymnastics.
Yeah, I mean,
especially with attorneys, it's like, or you
money.
Know, they've got to figure out a way to make this guy come off in a certain way, so he's just gonna, you know.
Yeah, that's how they make their money, man.
Which
is such bullshit.
Well, R. Kelly's daughter also came out with a really long Instagram story, because she's kind of remained quiet for a long time about it, and she kind of, like, apologized. She said, "I'm sorry if my silence has come off as me not caring
supporting
or not caring."
Him.
Yeah. And so her name is Buku Abi, who used to be Joanne Kelly. She calls her father a monster on her Instagram story and says that she, too, is a victim. She says, "I'm well aware of who and what he is. I grew up in that house. My choice to not speak on him and what he does is for my peace of mind, my emotional state, and for my healing." And she, you know, her mother was a victim.
Almost
she
killed
was a
by
victim.
Him. Like, he almost killed her.
Yeah, it's like, it is hard on all of those people that he has hurt and affected. And while I think it's great that people, that there are so many people who come out and are able to speak on it, we also have to be respectful of the pain that it takes that they're
in. And some people can't and won't.
His daughter.
Right.
That's hard.
It's super hard. And, like, she doesn't owe us anything.
No,
you know what I mean?
I'm glad that she came forward and spoke, and I'm glad that she did what she did. But I don't hold anything against her for not doing more. I think that what's important is for her to protect her mother, herself, her family, and to focus on how she's going to get through this time, because the media has really re-upped on this whole thing within the last few weeks since this documentary came out. And so she really does have to protect herself right now and make sure that she's being taken care of. And the other thing that's been frustrating to me, so we posted for our Man Crush Monday John Legend. Right. I said John Lennon. John Legend. And people in the comments, if you were saying, like, what about this guy? What about this guy? What about this guy who's done all of these things?
We need to stop the whataboutisms, like, truly.
Because by shining a light on one person, we are hoping that this creates a movement that will then shine the light on all of these other people. We're not saying that this is the only guy who's ever done it, and we only need to focus on R. Kelly and yada, yada, yada.
We gotta start somewhere,
dude. That's
not
the intention.
We have to start somewhere.
It's like Weinstein. It all started with Weinstein.
It's a house of cards, man. And then things started... make a Kevin Spacey joke.
I was just going to say, I'm like, oh, shit.
But it is. It's a house of cards.
Keegan,
it's like,
with the burns.
It's all going to fall down.
Yeah. So it's like once Weinstein started being taken down, all these other things started coming out and being taken seriously. And it was a domino effect. And we need it to happen across all, you know, career paths and lifestyles and classes.
Right.
So if this can help young black girls especially have a voice with their allegations, because the Me Too movement, I really feel like, although it was started by a black woman, it kind of turned into Time's Up and all these things.
It was co-opted by white people very quickly. It turned into
this kind of white cultured kind of thing. And I feel like, once again, what was started with good intentions, much like the abolitionist movement, where, you know, feminism was such a big part of it and it had such good intentions, it did really turn to a very white space. So I'm hoping that now that we're kind of bringing up this conversation about what is happening to black girls in America and around the world, that it can start to create that domino effect of real of humanizing these people and these girls.
Right. And having and allowing it to open up into other conversations, because, like, we need to shine a light on sexual abuse in and domestic violence and abuse in Native.
Yeah.
As far as, like, Native American women go.
Oh, we
because
definitely do.
That's something that's not being talked about enough.
No.
Like, all of these conversations need to be had. And trust me, I am of a burn it all down mentality.
Yeah.
I am. Like, I'm just like, yeah, fucking burn it all down.
Yeah.
All
Let's
these people need to go.
Open up all the books of secrets.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm with you on that. But
yeah.
I do think it is not helping the conversation to do this thing where we're like, well, what about this? What about that? It's
yeah.
a derailing tactic. We need to focus on this right now. And if
yeah.
you want to start your own thing about something else, that's fine.
Great.
But
yeah.
this is about this. Like,
yes.
this is what we're talking about
yes.
right now. And I want all these fuckers got. Trust me,
exactly.
I do.
Exactly. But we have to pay our dues. And, like, it's nice to see that there has been a progression in the things that we are willing to talk about. And we need these big things like this documentary to happen in order to start that conversation.
Right.
We need to focus on something right now and then have that be a platform for then something else and something else and something else to continue to build off of it.
Right.
Not saying that one is more important than the other, because that's not the case. Everybody's
right.
pain and everybody's abuse is on the same level.
Right. Yeah.
Real.
This isn't the oppression Olympics. Like, we're not trying
no.
to figure out who is more traumatized.
No. Who do we have to focus on
right.
first?
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
just that this came out, this happened, we're focusing on this right now, and then hopefully it really will just continue to be this forward movement of discussing more and more minorities who are being hurt and
right.
nobody cares.
Yes. Yeah. And I do want to touch on, like, listen. As a child of the 90s, as a black girl from the 90s, those were my formative years.
Yeah.
I get it that, like, it is difficult to dissociate yourself from those memories of, like, R. Kelly's music. I
yeah.
mean, in a lot of ways, and for a lot of us, I think it was the soundtrack of our childhood.
Yeah.
In many ways. And it's very hard. It's the same thing with Bill Cosby. It's very, very difficult to remove yourself from something
it
that was
is.
Instrumental to your upbringing.
And at the same time, it's so tainted. Like, if those songs were to come on the radio or on my Spotify or anything like that, like, listening to it takes on a whole other meaning where it, like, even if I didn't want it to be tainted, it would be tainted. Like, in my mind,
right.
at least, it
well,
would still be like, oh, I can't.
Right.
Like,
I mean, it's true. And, like, I was at karaoke last night and the KJ was like, I'm not going to play any R. Kelly, so don't ask.
Yeah, like, I
you know?
Loved Ignition. Like, that's
of course,
that song.
Everyone
where, like,
did. Everyone
yeah.
did. And that's the hard one that's the one that's gonna be difficult to remove from your, and for me also, I Believe I Can Fly when I was a
yeah.
kid. Like, everyone sang that. It
yeah.
was huge. But you know what? These girls are more important.
They are.
Than a song.
Which is why R. Kelly.
Yeah, there are a million good songs from the 90s.
Yep.
We're just gonna have to get more creative.
Yeah, you
okay?
know what, guys? you're just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, on. Yeah. Deal with it and move on, guys. You don't need his music. You don't need his music. Because I did hear after the documentary series came out, he had a spike in listens.
I know. Jada Pinkett Smith was like, nah.
What the fuck? Yeah. Seriously, what the fuck?
We need to be spiking up, like, Aaliyah's music.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping that, like, that spike was just you guys getting it out of your system, because
or like curiosity's sake, because there's probably people watching it who weren't big R. Kelly fans
who are like, oh yeah, let me go look at it. But hopefully it's a spike and then a plummet. Yeah, that's what we're hoping for here. He still has an Instagram. He's turned off all the comments on all of his posts. I went and looked because I was like curious.
I'm doing it right now.
But he still hasn't. I'm like, I would have shut all my social media down. But that just goes to show what an arrogant piece of shit he is.
Yeah. And there's probably a lot of people that are following him now, too, because they're, like...
curious to see what's going to happen.
They want to know. Yeah, they want to see how, like, he's reacting to it.
He still has, like, 2 million or something Instagram
he's
followers.
He's got 1.2 million.
Ooh, he's got less than when I looked last time. Good.
That is great.
I'm glad about that.
I'm not going to follow him. I'm stalking him right now, but I'm not going
to I go and check periodically, but yeah. But, yeah, I hope he gets arrested soon. I know that in Georgia they have filed something.
Yeah.
So we'll keep you updated on that.
Definitely.
I hope 2019 is the year that he gets locked up. I hope it's the year that Kevin Spacey gets locked up.
For real.
He went to a hearing recently, and I didn't do a ton of research on this, but this man... talk about kill your heroes, man, because I loved Kevin Spacey, and the more I'm learning about him, the more I'm like, oh no, you're an actual monster piece of shit.
For
like,
real.
He, okay, so TMZ reporters were camped out outside of Kevin Spacey's house, and he took them pizza in a hat that he had made that said retired since 2017 on it, because... he hasn't had been able to work since then. But it's, like, so arrogant.
You?
It's so...
woe is you.
Well, he did it, like, as a joke. Like, he thinks this is funny. And, like, no, that's the most disgustingly arrogant thing you could do. You have no remorse at all. And these were boys.
Yeah.
Like, children. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I hope 2019 is the year of just, like, burn it down. Burn it down. I hope
everybody.
They lock them up. So
the people we should actually be locking up,
exactly.
Not Hillary Clinton.
My exactly. God. Okay, so the only other thing that I have, and this was a while ago, and we did post it to our...
did you just hear my stomach?
Is that your stomach growling? Hungry?
Yes.
We did post this to our story, but I feel like we still need to talk about it, because we've talked about it previously on another episode.
Yeah.
On another episode, we discussed how Santoya Brown was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 51 years. We talked about how there was a possibility that the governor of Tennessee could grant her clemency. Mm-hmm. It didn't really seem like a huge likelihood. The governor, Bill Haslam, is a Republican.
Yeah, he kind of was, he was cornered, right? Like, somebody had mentioned it, and he kind of, like...
yeah, and so to me, I know that I expressed that I thought it was kind of just lip service.
Yeah.
But the pressure may have gotten to him because he did, in fact, grant Santoya Brown clemency.
Whoop, whoop.
So after 15 years behind bars and being sentenced to life in prison without possibility of parole. Yeah, 15 years behind bars.
Since she was a child.
Yeah, like, she's 30 now.
Yeah.
She is set to be released with parole supervision on August 7th.
Yeah.
So,
which is still, God, that's gotta suck. You're just like, I gotta wait till August. Like, I'm getting out, which is gotta feel great because there's an end in sight, but you're still just like, oh my God, now the countdown starts. Oh my God, get me out of here.
Right, and like, I think they waited till August 7th because that makes it exactly 15 years.
Uh-huh.
And from what I've seen...
kind of make it exact,
Yeah, that's important. And from what I've seen, I think they're going to be... I mean, she spent all of her adult life in prison. So I think they're going to be spending the coming months preparing her.
They've got to prepare her.
For what life is going to be like.
There's just such a reality shock, you know, coming into... especially, like, a lot has happened in 15 years, guys. A lot has changed, like, just in our technology, in our media, like, so many things. And I'm sure she is kind of in touch with that just from what's going on. Like, she's aware.
Right. She's been exposed to it. I mean, you have access to computers and things.
Yeah.
And
she went to college. She got a degree. And I think that's really great. And I'm hoping that... she, especially with the name that she's kind of built for herself, I'm hoping that somebody will give her a job, you
know? Yeah. I mean, she got her GED behind bars. She also got her associates, and she is working towards getting her bachelor's right now.
Yeah.
So, I'm hoping that the future's pretty bright for her.
Yeah.
She's very smart, it seems like. And when we're having this conversation, it's kind of an interesting conversation to have right after the conversation about R. Kelly, because they're kind of hand in hand.
Yeah.
In the way that we treat our Black girls.
Yeah.
I also believe that if anyone's seen the picture of Santoya Brown when she was arrested, she's a child.
She's
got her hair in pigtails.
Yeah.
I have a very hard time believing that a white blonde girl in the same situation would have been...
Can you picture a white blonde girl in pigtails with their mugshot?
Right. Or just
maybe they get her out of there.
In court, in her jumpsuit, her prison jumpsuit. Like,
it looks wrong.
It looks wrong, and I have no doubt that a white blonde girl in pigtails in a prison jumpsuit in the same circumstances where they killed a man twice their age who had bought them for sex.
Yeah.
I have a really hard time believing that that girl would have gotten the same treatment as Santoya Brown.
Like, it kind of makes me think of Orange is the New Black, where you see like a lot of the white women in the prison that have a lot of like supporters on the outside who are like vouching for them and trying to get them out.
Right. And you don't see the same thing because we sexualize Black girls. We assume somehow that they've made this position for themselves.
Yeah, even though we would never think that.
No,
of a young
we
white
we think
girl.
Of them as being both Black girls and Black boys are seen as more mature.
Yeah.
And older when they're children.
Yeah,
they're children.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy for her.
Santoya Brown had such a rough childhood. I mean,
exactly.
she was born right off the bat with issues. Her mother was a heavy drinker.
She had fetal alcohol syndrome.
Yeah, it's like, it's not, you know, she was set up a certain way and lived such an awful life, so full of abuse.
Right.
Where it's like, we should be empathetic to this girl and helping her in a way, not punishing
her. This was a 15-year-old whose brain was not developed properly enough, and the amount that it was developed, it grew in an environment of trauma and violence and abuse.
Yeah.
So there's no way that she was really mentally culpable.
Yeah.
You know. Okay, so she did write a letter whenever she found out she was granted clemency.
Mm-hmm.
And so her public statement reads, "Thank you, Governor Haslam, for your act of mercy in giving me a second chance. I will do everything I can to justify your faith in me. I want to thank those at the Tennessee Department of Corrections who saw something in me worth salvaging, especially Miss Connie Seabrooks for allowing me to participate in a Lipscomb Life program. It changed my life. I am also grateful to those at the Tennessee Department of Corrections who will work with me over the next several months to help me in the transition from prison to the free world. Thank you to Dr. Richard Good and Dr. Katie Watkins and all of you at Lipscomb University for opening up a new world for me. I have one course left to finish my bachelor's degree, which I will complete in May of 2019. I am thankful for all the support, prayers, and encouragement I have received. We truly serve a God of second chances and new beginnings. The Lord has held my hand this whole time, and I would never have made it without Him. Let today be a testament to His saving grace. Thank you to my family for being a backbone these past 14 years. I am thankful to my lawyers and their staffs and all the others who, for the last decade, have freely given of their time and expertise to help me get to this day. I love you all and will be forever grateful. With God's help, I am committed to live the rest of my life helping others, especially young people. My hope is to help other young girls avoid ending up where I have been. Thank you." So I know that was long, but I wanted to read it because she's so smart and, like, she's just come so far, and I'm just so happy. And I'm very emotional today.
What a force.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's going to do great things.
She is.
Do great things. Yeah. Yeah. So that's in this world of shitty news after shitty news. That is something that
there's a small light. And knowing that there is somebody who's gone through that, who really truly wants to make a difference in the lives of others, I think is so meaningful and important and so needed right now.
Right. Yeah.
It's so needed.
Yeah. So, check one. Good guys. Okay. So, I think that's all we got.
I think that's all we have.
Great.
We did pretty good.
Yeah, we did good. So I hope you guys enjoyed this extra long episode.
Yeah. Plug your live shows that are coming up from My Worst Date?
Yeah. So My Worst Date, my other podcast, if you haven't given it a listen, it's pretty funny, not to toot my own horn.
I loved the shorty episode that you did with the guys. Okay, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but, like, there's a point where this girl goes on a date that's awful, and then she comes back to his house, and he's like, you want to see my favorite, like,
oh, God.
Piece of art?
Yes.
And it's... is it a painting or a drawing?
I think it's a drawing.
It's a drawing of, like, Hitler, Santa, and Jesus having a threesome. And I'm driving home from work.
You're on
this,
a first date.
And I'm like, what the actual fuck?
Dude, it's, I mean, honestly, truly, like.
Isn't that when Cassie, like, went downstairs? She's like, I'm done.
She does that frequently. Like, because you just can't even with these people. You really can't. So, yeah, if you're into horrific dating stories.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's
true,
so good.
True dating stories. Check out my other podcast, My Worst Date. If you are in the LA area, we are having a live show. We're having two live shows, February 8th and 9th in North Hollywood. You can get tickets at myworstdatepodcast.com.
And you're doing it with
the first
Boobie,
night will
Boobie
be
and Newbies.
Yeah, the first night, so February 8th will be with Keep It Weird. They're going to open up for us,
so
and they
excited.
Have a really cool topic planned.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about
I'm
that.
Excited.
And then our second night, Boobies and Newbies, which is a romance podcast,
yeah.
A erotic fiction podcast,
which is perfect for your
which
other
is
show
fantastic
too.
And they're gonna open for us on Saturday, and Madigan and I will actually be doing an episode with Boobies and Newbies, so we will let you guys know when that's coming up.
Yeah.
And this episode will be coming out on the 14th, so
yeah.
Today is your last day to send in questions for our Ask Me Anything episode.
Yeah, we've had some really amazing ones. We've gotten a few since you made that sheet.
Yeah, we'll add to it. Yeah.
So I'm going to make sure I go through and get all of the questions. I think it's going to be a really, really great episode. I'm so excited to share this anniversary. I saw today on Time Hop that I shared our like logo for the first time a year ago today to kind of amp people up for the show. It's so exciting. I'm really happy about
it. Yeah, me too. We'll have champagne. We'll drink champagne
while we
record. We're
going to for sure drink champagne.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a good, good time. So if you haven't done it and you have questions or you just want to get something out there, be sure today to write to us, today being January 14th, in case you're listening on another day. It would be great to have all of those questions for you guys. You can email them to us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. You can DM us on Instagram at @angryneighborhoodfeminist. You can also catch us on Twitter if you feel like it. We are at YANF Podcast, YANF Podcast. You can listen to us on Radio Public. Oh, did you see that on Audioboom they were saying that they're no longer doing Google Play?
Yeah, I did, and I was getting some questions about that from people who listened on Google Play. I'm not sure what that's about.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an Audioboom thing or if Google Play is doing something about podcasts.
Yeah, we'll make sure that we look into a way to.
I know that Google tried to make their own podcasting like app, so maybe that's what it is. They're trying to take it off of Google Play and onto their own podcasting app, but we'll take a look at that. And I just want to reiterate that your Ask Me Anything questions can truly be anything. We've gotten heavy questions, light questions, basic questions, feminism questions, questions about our relationship. So you can really send us anything. We're happy to answer any of your questions.
Any of them.
So.
Also, we haven't gotten any pets recently for Feminist Pet Friday. So please be sure to send in pictures of your pets. Give us a little something about them. We'll add a fun little caption and we will feature them for Feminist Pet Friday, which I think is really fun.
Yeah.
Because everybody loves pets.
We'll probably do my cat next Friday. I was going to post him last Friday, but I was like, got home from traveling.
I want to do Haley's dog too.
Yeah.
I think we've covered everything that we need to cover. Oh, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. So helpful. If you haven't done it, please do it. Really means a lot to us. I think that's everything. So with all that being said, we encourage you to rage on. Bye.
Bye.